This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. When we ponder Jesus' effect on our society, we like to think about how he brings peace and comfort to the downtrodden and discouraged. However, one day he told his disciples, he came not to bring peace, but division. Now, what did he mean by that? We're going to talk about it in today's service, and we invite you to join us as we talk about the divisiveness of the gospel.
We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The gospel at times can be very divisive. That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today, and we invite you to listen. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we return our thanks to you for the blessings that you have so graciously bestowed upon us. Today we thank you that you tell it as it is, that there are those times when the gospel can be very offensive, and there will be temptations there for us to compromise, to make it say something that it doesn't say, or make it say it not quite as harshly. Give us the grace, the strength, and the lack of fear to preach your word as you would have it preached. In Jesus' name, amen. The Gospel for this Sunday is recorded in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 49. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No. I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. There will be divided father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother. He said this to the crowd. When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrite, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time? This is a very, very interesting text. Could be quite hard to understand at times, but let's see if we can really get on with it and do something that will be of benefit to us as far as understanding God's holy word. Today, Jesus says, I can come with my gospel, and it can be very divisive. Now, that is a rather startling thing to hear. For not long before this, Jesus had said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Yes, there is something startling to read the words of this text. What did our Lord Jesus Christ mean? Is he contradicted himself? And I think if we study it just a little bit, we'll find out that there's no contradiction here at all, but Jesus is trying to say two different things. In the first part where he says, a peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. He was trying to bring them comfort. He was trying to give them encouragement. But in this other part, he is trying to show the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when he talks about the gospel here, friend, it again is not just the academic. It is far more than that. It is a powerful message that he has left with them that grabs our soul and causes us to say, he is my Savior. We take a look at the cross, and it's not just something in history, but it's God making his sacrifice for the sins of the world. We hear Jesus say that if you trust in me, confess your sins, and accept me as Savior and Lord, then I can assure you that you are mine and I am yours, and that is forever. So when we use the word gospel here today, it is not just the academic we memorize as kids or later as adults, but it is the powerful message of the salvation of our soul. Now, when the gospel is this, Jesus said there can be times when it is very divisive. What I'd like to do is give you a few examples of what happened in one home after another, if we only knew at times what went on there. For example, here is a family of four people. Parents, a daughter, and a son. And it has come to that time in their life where the daughter is about to go away to college. They've had a lovely family. It is built around love, and Jesus Christ has been at the center. On Sunday mornings, from the time they were little right on now to when they were leaving the home, mother would be there, seeing that they were properly dressed and on their way to church. They'd come home, and it would be a Sunday afternoon of joy of one kind or another. And then again, the day would be over when they had a moment or two to thank God for what they had received that day. A family, something like this. A little bit less, a little bit more, doesn't matter. But then it gets to the time when the young lady has reached the age of 18 or 19, and she is going away to college. The parents realize that there will be some temptations there with the people that she lives with, no one to come home to, and also maybe some of the things that she might hear in the classroom. So they have given her some warnings, but they think she'll be all right. To college she goes, and she gets a roommate. And it's the first Sunday on the campus, and the church bells are ringing, and she is preparing to go. She looks at her roommate and says, "Are you going to church today?" And she said, "No, what's today?" "Well, today is Sunday. We go to church, don't we?" "Not in my family. We are not a church family. We don't belong to a church. We have never gone to church. No, this is a Sunday that, if you want to give it any direction at all as to what happens there, it's a time that we take it easy and just have a comfortable time with ourselves, sleeping in a little longer than usual." Well, it's shocking to the young lady. But she gets ready and she goes and comes home from church. Nothing was ever said. That goes on for several weeks. And the girl says to her, "Why don't you go to church?" "Because we are not believers. We do not believe what the church preaches. And you do. So that's it, and I don't think we should talk about it anymore because it might hurt our relationship." The girl comes home at the end of the semester, and it's Sunday morning, and she has made no effort to get up and get ready. And the mother comes in and says, "Aren't you going to church with us?" And she says, "No, I don't think so. You know, at college we don't go to church every Sunday. Some don't go to church at all. And I've been thinking this thing through, and it is not necessary to go to church every Sunday. So I'm going to sleep in, as my roommate does, and she seems to be a nice person." And to begin with, the parents argue, and then they stop. But now they go to church, three of them. Their son and the parents. You see what Jesus is saying? It can easily cause division. The harmony that was in that family is now gone. There is division on the most important thing that that family has: faith in Jesus Christ. Is he the Son of God? Is he the Savior of the world? And they might have to say right now, no. A couple more years roll around and their son is ready to go to college. But he's not ready. So he says, I think that I will join the military. And there I will get some good experience getting out on my own. And also there will perhaps be some kind of a scholarship when I come back that will pay for part of the education, if not all of it. And so they're rather reluctant what he's decided to do, but he's 18, and if he doesn't want to go to school, that of course is up to him. He enlists, and after some basic training here, he is sent over to where the war is really being fought. He doesn't like it. He's frightened, but he realized this was his choice, and he was in this enlistment for a period of many, many months. But he writes home, and he says, "There's a lady here in the military who has attracted my attention, and I think I have hers, and I'm going to bring her home on a furlough in a few weeks so you can meet her." Mother dashes off the letter. "Tell us a little bit more about her so we'll be ready." And so he writes and he says, well, she doesn't go to church very much. Her folks belong to a church, and I guess she does too, but that's about all there is to it. And we're getting close to getting engaged. Mother thinks, oh boy, another one. He comes home, and his fiance comes with him, for he has already asked her to be his wife. And after a few months, they're going to get released, and the marriage will take place. After the mother gets a chance to talk alone with her son, she says, you know, son, this is dangerous. How will you like it on Sunday when you get up and go to church alone, or don't go to church at all? How will you like it when Christmas comes and we all get together and we go to church and then we come home and have a dinner and open our presents and then the Christmas gospel is read? And your wife is like an outsider looking in. What will it do to your children who are coming along? A father who goes to church and a mother who doesn't. Well, Mom, I might as well tell you that I haven't been going to church. I don't know if I'm a Christian. There are many things about Jesus Christ that I like, but there are many things that I can get along without. So we have to settle that when it gets to that time. Again, he goes back to the war zone, and the mother is very, very disappointed, as is the father. And they ask the question, well, where did we go wrong? Both of these kids were so faithful in their church and faithful in their relationship to God. But today, this seems to be all gone. Well, Dad says, I take that word from Lamentation very seriously. There is a time to speak and a time to listen. We have voiced our disappointment. We have shown them the dangers that they are living in. They know that full well. They don't need to be reminded of it again. And the temptation is that we might begin to compromise ourselves and say, well, maybe we can work something out together. Salvation cannot be compromised. By grace you are saved through faith, and that will stand until the end of day. But don't give up. Remember that the seed has been sown, and that seed can well one day bear fruit. So we'll just have to play it out and ask God to help us. So the family goes a little bit further, and they receive a new pastor in their church. The pastor could be of any denomination, but they notice that there is something different about him. He is willing to compromise just a little bit. He is willing to say that it's perfectly all right to have same-sex marriages. He is saying that there are places in the scripture where you have to remove the stumbling block from the world, for it's not really that important. So you adjust the scriptures to make all well on both sides of the question. Yes, it's sin. Yes, it is not sin. And no one is going to get hurt for it. That they can't stand. So they look at the pastor and they say, could we have an appointment with you? And he welcomes it. He's a young man, not long out of the seminary, very pleasant, and certainly does not want to be offensive. They set up a time to come to his study. And in that study, they ask him some very pointed questions. Do you believe that the Word of God can be changed to accommodate our culture? And he said, yes, on certain things I do. Well, what do you do about this passage in John 14:6? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Well, I'll have to wait and let Jesus interpret that when we get to heaven. But while I'm here, I'm going to be of the opinion that Jesus does not want anyone out of the kingdom of heaven, and they will have an opportunity to come back, regardless of whether they believe in him or if they are a faithful believer in another religion. Father and mother have been let down. The church seems to be saying about the same thing as the daughter and the son did. The daughter and the son have been willing to take the advice of other people outside of their family, and they're heartsick at that. But nevertheless, it is the way it is. And that is what Jesus was talking about in the text before us. He says, I am hard-pressed to get this message out to all who are concerned. He stands. Either we will have to, some way or another, get along with the kids and not have a real close family anymore, not united with Jesus Christ. What will happen? I tell you, friend, these are stories, but they are true stories, and they are happening in every blessed group that I come in contact with from time to time. What do you do? Where did we fail? And you really, if I'm speaking to you, you feel that you have failed. You have not necessarily failed. We are living out there where there is a world. And as Jesus says, when that world sees the gospel, and that gospel says that it's so limited that only those who believe in Jesus Christ are going to be saved, that world says we want nothing to do with it. When a world says that your son or daughter can have same-sex marriage, you have taken the Word of God and its power out of your life. Therefore, it is divisive. That's our day. But you know what? It was Jesus' day, too. And that's why he said, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Yes, this had to be made clear, that while the gospel, believed with all of its heart, can bring peace and joy, so also the gospel, when opposed, can bring division, and there is no compromising if you are one of God's children by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, our Lord was not fooled by anyone. And it is very, very important that we understand what his word has said today. There comes a time when the true gospel is very offensive. And in that sense of the word, it can be a time when somebody is led astray. Grant, O God, it may not happen. We go where there are disappointments in our home. We go to a place where we believe in the gospel, but you see there an elderly person, sick unto death, and he is wondering where God is. And you try to tell him, God is right here with you. But at that particular time, he is not listening. The old man says, I don't know if it is true. And our hearts are broken. But take refuge in this. The seed has been sown, and God's word will not return void. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will encourage you to stand firm in your faith in Jesus Christ. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to remember a loved one with a memorial gift. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on their birthday or another meaningful occasion. Now, if you would like to make a donation in loving memory of someone, please send it to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you can call 277-0924. We are grateful you chose to worship with us today and pray that you'll worship with again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's program was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 51 years. Christian Crusaders, which broadcasts over 23 radio stations in 11 states, shortwave in Europe and on the internet at christiancrusaders.org, is now in its 77th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.